I've got John Davies alongside me, who we talked to in previous programmes. John, just remind us about you first.
Oh, I worked at a company for just short of 50 years, and I finished up as a project engineer, having started as an apprentice, earning £1.01 a week.
And you've been busy doing my job, haven't you? You've been interviewing ex-colleagues.
Yes, of course. The reason for conducting interviews is to record history via the memories and experiences of person or groups of people.
And when you go, do you find yourself listening to people who may have been around at the same time, and you're thinking, that's not quite how I remember that?
I think we've conducted, Brian and I, about 26 or 27 interviews, and I've been fortunate in knowing every one of the people.
Have you really?
Yes.
And of course, there's their relations and friends and whatever. It's a bigger, wider circle once you start talking.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's surprising. I've worked there a very long time, but going around doing these interviews, I've learned a hell of a lot more.
How do you prepare? Because when I come out, you've given me notes, so I've got a page full of notes as to what I might ask. How do you prepare when you go out?
Okay, well, there's two stages. Before the day of the interview, I contact the person to arrange a date and a time and a venue. And then the important thing is I send a questionnaire so that they can be prepared and they can produce any photographs or documents they would wish to talk about. And as I say, having known most of them, I can direct my questions to the occupation that they carried out. There are certain rules of interviews, but as I say, I can tailor the questions to suit the person.
Tell me what the rules of the interviews are then.
Well, you've got to make sure you turn up on time. And then the main thing is to relax the person. You don't want to go straight in, dash the microphone in front of the head and switch on. So the idea is to relax them. You chat about anything other than the interview. Talk about the old days and whatnot. And eventually, that's okay. So we try and settle down in a room that's quiet. No ticking clocks, no nagging wives, no pets.
Music playing in the background.
Right, no parrots, no striking clocks. So eventually we can start. I have a look at the documents first, or photographs, to see when we would best introduce them into the interview.
The other thing that you said, I think is really, really important, is when you get there, not to talk about what you're going to talk about. Because if you do that with people, as you will have found out, and I'm sure it's the reason you've said it, they think they've told you. So they don't tell you again, and a lovely story that they had, oh, I've already told you that, I won't tell them that again.
Yeah, that has happened before, yeah. And it's just unfortunate.
It's just so disappointing. You've got it, but it's not on your recorder.
Where at the end of the day, when we're ready to publish, I think, oh, what happened to that bit?
Brian, what about you? You've done this as well. I mean, it's something you really love doing.
Oh, indeed I do. John has been talking about the beauty of it is, well, I started at Fieldings in 1952 and left in 74. So I knew also all these old colleagues and everyone that John and I have interviewed, I've worked with or knew as colleagues. And to be able to talk and go back and reminisce on Fielding time, believe you me, Pete, it's absolutely fascinating.
They must have reminded you of all sorts of things that you'd probably forgotten.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, indeed. I mean, we interviewed one chap. I must agree, I didn't work. I only know him as Philip. He lived in Corse and Staunton. And I mean, he was in his 90s. Well, you imagine that the stories that he could tell us. But to actually meet these people again after so many years and to go through their memories, it was so fascinating. And I know John and I thoroughly enjoyed doing it.
And when you go, do you find that the people you talk to, there's always the same sort of story comes up? Is there a thread that seems to follow through everybody?
Yeah, up to a point, that's true. I mean, they've all got their own thoughts about Fielding, and which all seem to click together. But, of course, you've got to realise they nearly all had different jobs, so they all got different stories to tell. We've interviewed fitters, draftsmen, office cleaners, canteen women, and the stories that come out, you know, you probably heard it on your earlier programs, yeah. Which incidentally was so good.
Do all of them go back as if they really enjoyed what they did? Are there any that have said to you, oh, I wish I'd left, you know, never stayed there?
You'll never get that from an ex-Fieldings colleague, Pete. They absolutely love working at Fieldings, and it, you know, anybody that's listened to the website, on the website, that comes over. They absolutely adored the comradeship, working at Fieldings. They had their down jobs, obviously, but no. John and I found it so fascinating.
And as photographer at the works for all those years, when they bring out photographs, do you recognise the ones that you took?
Believe it or not, yeah, I do. And that makes you feel older. I've been listening to John Bancroft now and going back. I was sat there listening and that was bringing back all the memories of that. You know, how I used to travel around the country and Europe, etc., taking these photographs. It's fascinating. I'll never give this up.
Do you have a favourite story that someone's told you?
Not that I can recall, because they were all the same, Pete. I don't think you... I mean, obviously you can, but to my... You know, now, here at this moment, you've thrown me.
I'll ask John Hill, because he's had time to think, yeah, you see. Do you have a favourite story?
Well, yes, there was one old gentleman. I hadn't better name him, although probably people know who he is. He's about 95 now. And he was telling me about, not a distressing incident, but one that he had a bit of a problem with. He was called up to a customer. The machine wasn't working very well. And he said, well, I'll tell you his name. Why, Mr. Maidley, did you do that? And Bob, he made some sort of an excuse. And no, that's not good enough. So Bob tried another tack. And the customer said, no. So Bob thought for a bit. Well, Mr. X, he said, it's like marriage. It seemed a good idea at the time.
You see, I mean, the great thing is when you go around to people and you can have a laugh and a joke and you are colleagues, let's be, you know.
Well, absolutely. Once the interview's finished officially, we sit and talk for ages. We've been offered cakes and biscuits and Christmas cake and, oh, we've had a wonderful time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and we came away from one place with free-range eggs. Oh, yeah, it's been an absolute privilege. I've absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've learned a hell of a lot as well.
Brian, you've got a list there. You've been writing out as other people have been talking. It's a list of names, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, as this is going out over the radio, there's a lot of old, interesting characters still alive, obviously, hopefully listening to this. And some of the names of the people we've interviewed, I'm sure... younger Fielding employees will be delighted to know. I mean, I mentioned this Philip of Staunton, who was in his 90s. There's Bob Maidley, who John just mentioned. He's 95. He's now living at Ross. He was in the drawing office. We've got Lionel Lane, Elsie Lane. We've got Ken Daniel. And you might know Ken Daniel. He used to play on the wing for Gloucester Rugby many years.
I was going to say, the name certainly rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, Ken is still alive and fit as a fiddle. He's a wonderful man. We've got Eric Penning. And going back to the chicken eggs, John actually pegged down John Morley, who used to be an ex-personnel manager at Fieldings. We interviewed him at his lovely cottage up in the Cotswolds. And the younger ones, a really good interview we did was with Bob Scott, who was an engineer come office man, and Bill Mogg. And can I just mention one thing? Jim Fielding has been mentioned, of course, and he's passed on years ago now. Jim Fielding and I, we had a bit of a comrade because he was a keen photographer, so I used to get a few favours off it. But no, I was only thinking he would have been so proud if he was alive to have heard these interviews and to have seen it on the website. And for me personally, one of the highlights of my time was at the unveiling of the commemorative plaque at the Quays back last year, was the honour of seeing members of the Fieldings family who had travelled all the way from Cornwall to be present at the unveiling and to get their comments and how proud they were to listen and see the website and to bring back memories of their, you know, I mean, I think John Fielding was the father of one absolutely fascinating piece.
And I mean, to think back, John Davies, to think back, you know, that these people could come now. And all the people that have worked at Fielding and Platt that you've spoken to, that I've spoken to, and I've heard you talk about, have all adored the place. And nobody has a bad word. There must have been bad times, but nobody has a bad word.
No, even in very difficult times, people sort of pulled together. You know, when we were sort of almost ready to close down, then there was a three-day week where we did work 3 days, but three very, very long days. This was in the winter of discontent. And I think one of the works trade unionists, Gilbert Vallander, I think he went to the management and said, look, we seem to be getting more production out of the long 3 days than we did over a normal week. Can't we keep it?
What do they say?
Oh, they said no.
Let's go back to the interviewing techniques and things you use. Do you transcribe it as well when you finish? Do you take a photograph of the person that they...
Yes.
Do you have to get their permission in the first place?
Oh, indeed, yes. Brian usually takes a photograph, and then we have to get a couple of forms signed so they give their permission to have their interview put on the website, permission to use their photographs, documents, etc. Yes, Brian usually covers that.
So you two work as a team then? Do you go together, hand in hand?
Oh, yes. We don't actually hold hands, but we...
Probably just as well, because people would talk.
Yes, and I ask questions, and Brian does what you're doing now, holding the microphone and making sure the volume is correct. So that's how we carry on. We work quite well with the team. As I said, we've done about 26, 27 so far, and we've got a big long list of...
I was going to say, you say so far. How many are there to go?
Oh, God, fathers, we could go...
Because when this goes out, you know, I'm going to ask people to get in touch if they want you to go round and interview them, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's like a comedy duo anyway, so it's an entertaining afternoon, even if they don't get anything out of it.
Exactly. Well, I'll be 100 before, Jeff, but, I mean, I could keep on going that long.
Brian, I mean, you know, you could keep doing this, and as you say, you love it so much. You'd probably just be delighted to go to anybody. If anybody is listening to this who thinks they've got a story to tell about Fielding and Platt, and it may not be somebody who actually worked there, it may be a spouse, it may be a child of the person who worked there, who've got stories, I guess they're just as valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know for a fact, in relate to your question, we have got a long list of ex-employees still waiting. You see, it's okay doing the interview. John and I do these interviews, and as you well know, Pete, with your profession, after we've finished the interview, those interviews have then got to be edited to make them suitable for listening to. And I mean, Alistair, who you will be talking to later, that's it. Now, that is a laborious job. Now, it's all right for John and I to keep giving Alistair these interviews, but he's got to edit them. So you can imagine, we've got interviews which we've done still waiting to be edited to go on the website. But in answer to your question, yeah, anybody listening to this who, and they, as you said, they don't have to be Fielding employees. I mean, I'm a volunteer at a hospital and I am always meeting people, and again, you know, who've listened to your interviews in the past, and they are so interested. And my dad, you know, please get in touch with us via the website, and we'd be only too delighted.
There's no information too small. It's like when I come and talk to groups like yourself, there are little throwaway lines that people say that, to me, are just gems. And I'm sure there are lots more around for Fieldings.
Oh, there are. I mean, without being boring, going back to the type of people who worked at Fieldings and their family, you know, it's such an interesting place. The stories to come out, well, they're just fascinating, aren't they? And you know, we all know, sat here, you know, around the table now, we're proud, real proud of it.
And if you could see their faces and see the smiles when certain things are said, you would know that. It's a pity this isn't television, really, but it's not. Thank goodness that you'd have to see my face if it was television.